Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon for those of you on the East Coast, and good morning to all of you on the West Coast. Welcome to the Successful Woman Radio Show, brought to you by WomenAboutBiz.com, empowering you with the tools and resources to start or grow your very own business. Hello, successful women. This is Trina Newby, your host and success coach, broadcasting to you live this Monday, March 31st, 2014, and as always, bringing you inspiration, motivation, and ways to make your business, your dreams, and your ideas a success. Well, here we are on Monday, March 31st. This is the last day of the first quarter. And, of course, we'll be ending with our theme for this month, Daring to Dream in 2014. And, of course, I'll be sharing with you some very wonderful ways to be persistent in accomplishing your dreams and goals a little later on in the show. Now, in celebration of National Women's History Month here at Successful Woman Radio, we'll also be honoring today Jaida Ingham. She founded Freedom House, the first residential shelter for adult female survivors of human trafficking. And so we'll be letting you know who she is and all about her in just a little bit. Also, we'll be covering habit number 5 in 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. We'll be talking about today the 5th habit, seek first to understand, then be understood. And this is this habit really says a lot, and I'll be reading from you just an excerpt from this particular habit chapter, but I think that you're going to find this very, very useful, and especially for those of you who are in sales. And, of course, most of the time, if you're a business owner, we're all in sales. But in particular, if you're wanting to really understand people more and get a better understanding of how you need to proceed in listening to others, then this is really the habit for you. And, of course, I'll be sharing with you 8 ways to power start your business. We have a lot of listeners who have yet to start their business. They listen to the show to get motivated on the personal development end, but I'm going to share with you 8 ways to get power started today. Also, we have a wonderful event coming up with Women About Biz, so I definitely want to let you know about that. And again, this is the last day for March, and so we will be ending our theme for this month, Dare to Dream in 2014, where we each Monday have provided you with ways to really pursue your dream and really get out there and make things happen for yourself. And so today we're going to end that in talking with you about ways that you are going to be able to become more persistent in your life. You know, persistency is very important. It means to keep moving, to keep going. No matter what, you're going to keep getting back up and keep trying. And so we all need to develop a habit of persistence, right? Amen. And so that's exactly what we're going to be talking about a little bit later on in the show. So I'm very, very excited. Now's the time for you to flash over on another line and to call a friend, someone who needs to be inspired, who needs to be motivated today. You know, that female friend who said, you know what, I really got to get away from all of these naysayers and a lot of this negativity going on, and I really need to put myself in a place where I am supported. Well, Successful Woman Radio is all about supporting you. Every single Monday at 12 noon Eastern, you can come and get your dose of inspiration, your dose of motivation to take action on your life, your business, and to make things happen for yourself. And that's what we want you to do. So again, this is a great time to flash over on another line and bless the life of another businesswoman, another friend, associate who you know needs to be in today. Have her to dial in to 347-637-2589. Again, for those of you with pen in hand, the show number is 347-637-2589. Again, I want to thank all of you who have become our you know, just our fans, our consistent listeners, and you dial into the show and you email us and you let us know that we're doing a good job and you let us know what else you want to hear, and I really appreciate that. It's you. You're the reason why we continue to move forward with the show. We continue in our seventh year to improve the show. So I just want to thank all of you. And for those of you who are just beginning to listen, welcome to Successful Woman Radio. And we want to encourage you to mark your calendar, okay, for every single Monday at 12 noon Eastern Time. That includes the holidays as well. So I'm very, very excited that we are here and that we are here for a reason, and that is to inspire, motivate you with tools and resources to start and grow your business. I want to go ahead and start out with 8 ways to power start your business. And for those of you that already have a business, you know, just look at this as a refresher. Because sometimes we start our businesses so quickly, we really haven't always set the foundation on those businesses. So sometimes you may hear something for those who are new to the business world. You may hear something that you need to go back and do. So let's get started. 8 ways to power start your business. First and foremost, the first thing you need to know is that research is very vital to the success of a business. So when you are starting a business up, you must be clear on the first thing that's most important to your business, and that is who your target market is, who your customer is. And so research is very important. This is your discovery phase of learning all of that. And today, you know, it used to be that we would have to go to the library and we would have to look up, you know, a lot of different industry indexes and, you know, just really stay in the library forever trying to figure that out. But today, Google has eliminated the need for us to really get out of our houses and have to do all of that because Google has so much information. And so, again, pretty much on Google, you can put in and plug in almost any keyword about anything and start researching and learning more about it. This is the first thing that you need to know. You need to know information about your business industry. So you really want to go ahead and try and research your industry, whatever industry that might be. If you're in meeting and planning, then you want to put in Google Meeting and Planning Industry Association, okay? If you are in direct sales, you want to put in Direct Sales for Women or Direct Sales Association for Women. You want to look at things, you want to look at different web resources that are going to be able to provide you with tools. And then also, the second thing about starting up your business is vision and purpose. So next to research, of course, you know, as you begin to research, and the reason why I say research is first is because some people are not sure on what it is that they want to do. So you first need to research. Once you are clear on what it is that you want to do, now you're really ready to go ahead and for this business I'm talking about, you're really ready to go ahead and set your vision and your purpose. So you need to develop a vision of where you would like to see your business in the next 3, 6, 9, and 12 months. And I really don't, for the purpose of startup, I really don't encourage you to go past that because there's going to be so many things that you learn along the way that are going to help you to enhance your plan, that are going to help you to enhance the profitability of your business, that you really don't want to plan too far out, okay, because a lot of things change. And what I have discovered is that once you get your business going, your business is really going to give you signs. It's going to dictate to you the moves that you need to make next, okay? So back up to where you are. Once you have developed a vision, and a vision in your business is simply, what is it that I want to experience within the next 3, 6, 9, or 12 months? Once you know what that is, you back up to where you are, and then you create your roadmap to get you there, setting your goals and all of those things that you need to do. Here's number 3 in 8 ways to power start your business. Develop your financial goal. Prepare a cash flow analysis to determine how long it might take to either break even or turn a profit. You know, I talk about cash flow a lot because cash flow is my best friend. The numbers don't lie. Numbers will never lie to you. And so when you are making decisions in your business that has to do with projections of how much income you might be able to bring in, you always want to do a cash flow. And, again, that's because the numbers don't lie to you. They are numbers are literally concrete. They will tell you whether or not you can move forward or do something or what you how hard you're going to have to work in order to make it happen, okay? For those of you who are not familiar with the cash flow, at Women About Biz, we have a cash flow worksheet available in our download center for those of you who are members at Women About Biz. And, of course, you can also request a power talk with me if you've never had one to learn more about how to do a cash flow. A cash flow does more than just help you with your break-even, though. The cash flow allows you to know how many customers you're going to need to generate a certain amount of revenue. It's going to let you know if you're too bottom-heavy, meaning you've got too many expenses, which make it difficult for you to generate a profit. So the cash flow just answers so many questions. So, again, if you are a member of Women About Biz, we have the cash flow worksheet and the cash flow instructions in our download center. If you are not a member of Women About Biz, you may want to request a power talk with me to discuss your cash flow, and we can provide you with more information on that. Here's number four in the 8 ways to power start your business. Write a working business plan. Now, a working business plan is a plan that is focused on where you are going again for the next 3, 6, 9, and 12 months. While it can serve as a basis to write a more extensive plan, its purpose is to serve as a guide or an outline for accomplishing your business goals within a 1-year time period, okay? So the working plan is more for your eyes. Now, there are different types of business plans. A lot of times if a person is going after a business loan with a bank, then the bank is always going to ask you for your executive plan. And, of course, an executive business plan is not only going to have the executive summary and all of the things of a business plan, but it's also going to have in detail a lot of accounting sheets, your balance sheet, your cash flow projections. It's going to have a lot more information in there. That plan normally takes a little bit longer to prepare as well. So the working business plan, however, is for your eyes. It's a plan that you actually use for your blueprint. And when something is not working, you can actually go back to your working business plan and determine whether or not you actually stayed on course with using the workflow of your plan or whether you deviated some, which could be the cause of you not seeing some results in your business. So, again, number four in 8 ways to power start your business is write a working business plan. And for those of you who are familiar with the Women About Biz website, we do have the write a working business plan, how to write a working business plan, outline an article in our business startup channel. You simply go to womenaboutbiz.com, and then in the top right menu bar, you hold your mouse over startup channel, and right there in the startup channel, you scroll down a little bit right there on the front page of that channel, writing your working business plan is available for you from our website. Here's number 5 in 8 ways to power start your business. Number 5 is develop a company operations plan. Now, a lot of small businesses don't have this because for whatever reason, small business owners or micro home-based business owners feel that there are certain things that they don't have to do simply because they think that they are, quote, too small to do it. But that's the first mistake that anyone who's starting a business out makes, and that is don't consider yourself small, okay? You need to look at the fact that if you're going to start a business, you want to be as successful as possible. And so you definitely need to pick up some of the good habits that large corporations have, and one of them is developing a company operations plan, such as this plan answers how will the business function daily? How do you create an organizational chart? who's going to be on that organizational chart. Even if it's just me right now, still, what are the different roles that have to be played in this company? Who do you need to assist you in providing the services and products that are needed in your company? So the operational plan serves as a daily workflow. In other words, I'm my own boss, but who's guiding me? Who's there to tell me what to do? And sometimes there's not going to be anybody, right? But if you've been used to working that 9-to-5 job, being employed, sometimes what makes it easier is that someone has always been there to tell you what to do, to provide you with that job description and tell you the boundaries of your job description, whereas with a business, when you start your own business, there are no boundaries. There are no limits set on you. And sometimes that can be very overwhelming because you don't know where to start or what to work from. So developing an operations plan will help you with that. Here's number 6. Develop a networking and marketing strategy. Now, for those of you that don't know it yet, the largest majority of micro business owners do business through word of mouth, okay, and connecting with each other, which is one reason, believe it or not, why social networking, social media picked amongst individuals and small business owners, because they were already doing it. So bringing it on the Internet was just another way to really explode the ability to be able to spread the news about your business internationally without having to put up front a lot of money to do so. So it's very important that you realize as a small micro business or a home business that networking and marketing are going to be pivotal pieces of the puzzle in being successful. So it's going to be important for you to create your system of how you're going to do that. You're going to need to join some networking associations and some trade groups. That's going to be very, very important to do so. As a matter of fact, I recommend that you attend at least one networking event every single week. I know people who are very successful in networking and developing a lot of connections, and they attend anywhere between 2 and 3 networking events per week. You have to have the time to do it, but a minimum of 1, okay? The other thing that's going to be important in developing a networking system is you need to create your 30-second infomercial. And what that means is that people really don't have a long attention span. So if somebody asks you what you do and you start umming and you start going all around, going all around the mulberry bush trying to tell them what you do, that means that you're not really clear on what you do and how to explain it. And so before you get before others, it's so very, very important to have that 30-second infomercial so that you will understand what you need to be saying. Keep in mind that when you give a 30-second infomercial, if you talk more about the benefits of the company and how it can help your potential customer than you do the company itself, it's always going to go across better. Now, it's going to take you some time, and the one thing that you need to know about these 30-second infomercials is that you will end up having to develop many infomercials because no one group and no one person is going to be the same. Next, make sure that you set your mind on building relationships that are supportive and that can open doors for you as you move on networking. So networking has to be from a selfless standpoint, an unselfish standpoint. It means that you really need to look at how can I benefit others? Who can I help? Who can I provide resources to? Because people are going to most remember you when you help them. Keep that in mind. And when you help them, it starts off the correct type of relationship, and they're going to always remember you for that. And from that, they will be able to refer you to others. Number 7 and 8 ways to power start your business. Definitely commit to a time management system. Remember, time keeps on moving. You can't go back in time and correct things. So the most important thing that you need to do is to look at how you are managing the time that's allotted to your life right now, a really, really good article to read that we have, and that's located in our, I do believe, in our personal development channel, is a wonderful article called Congratulations, You Have More Time in Your Account. If you go to womenaboutbiz.com, hold your mouse over channels in the top right menu bar, and scroll down to personal development, you will see that article on the front page of that particular channel. Last but not least, in number eight, in eight ways to power start your business is follow up, follow up, follow up. I can't tell you how important it is to follow up. You know, you can pass out a brochure, a flyer, and the clients will come. Attitude is not how it works. We all wish that that was the actual case, but it's not. In today's 21st century, you've got to have a well-structured follow-up plan in place, and you have to know how to work it. Because just because someone says that they're interested in your services or your product, it still does not mean that they are going to end up retaining you as to provide that service or purchasing that product. So what that means is that because they are interested, they are now a warm prospect, it's your responsibility to follow up all the way through. So you have to have a system to actually know, okay, how you're going to close the sale and what you're going to do to develop that relationship, okay? Wonderful. Let's go ahead. And at this time, I want to go ahead and see if anyone has questions on getting their business started, or if you have any questions in reference to the eight ways to power start your business. And if you do, all you need to do is just press star 1 on your phone keypad. Again, all you need to do is press star 1 on your phone keypad, and I will be able to answer that question for you. And we're talking about what we've just mentioned, the eight ways to power start your business. And again, I hope that you guys are taking great notes. And you can always go to Women About Biz. We have a wonderful startup channel. And again, just from the top menu bar, hold your mouse over channels, and you'll see all of the wonderful article sections that we have at womenaboutbiz.com to provide you with those resources and tools that you need to be a successful woman. It's 12:21 after the hour, and you are listening to the Successful Woman Radio Show. Want to go ahead right now and move into the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Now, I recommend that if you love reading books and you have a business library or library where you keep all of your books, or even a Kindle, I recommend that you add to it the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Dr. Stephen R. Covey. Excellent book, and it's been one of those books over time that millions and millions of people have read the book. It's been translated in hundreds of languages all across the world, and for good reason, and that is because it's a book that talks about how to literally change our lives through the habits that we adopt, through the way that we function, through the way that we act. And this book provides principle-centered approaches for solving our personal and professional problems, okay? He gives us great insights through this book on how to handle things in life that we oftentimes allow to frustrate us. And this book indeed can help you to be a more successful woman in all areas. So let's talk a little bit about the 5th habit. The 5th habit in the 7 habits of highly effective people is seek, understand, and then be understood. Again, seek first to understand, then be understood. The author goes on to say, suppose you have been having trouble with your eyes and you decide to go to an optometrist for help. After briefly listening to your complaint, he takes off his glasses and hands them to you. Put these on, he says. I've worn this pair of glasses for 10 years now, and they've really helped me. I have an extra pair at home. You can wear these. So you put them on, but it only makes the problem worse. This is terrible, you exclaim. I can't see a thing. Well, what's wrong, he asks. They work great for me. Try harder. I am trying, you insist. everything is a blur. Well, what's the matter with you? Think positively. Okay, I positively can't see a thing. Boy, are you ungrateful, he chides, and after all I've done to help you. What are the chances you go back to that optometrist the next time you needed help? Not very good, I would imagine, he says. You don't have much confidence in someone who doesn't diagnose before he or she prescribes. But how often do we diagnose before we prescribe in communication? Come on, honey, tell me how you feel. I know it's hard, but I'll try to understand. Oh, I don't know, Mom. You think it was stupid? Of course I wouldn't. You can tell me. Honey, no one cares for you as much as I do. I'm only interested in your welfare. What's making you so unhappy? Oh, I don't know. Come on, honey, what is it? Well, to tell you the truth, I just don't like school anymore. What? You respond incredulously. What do you mean you don't like school? After all the sacrifices we've made for your education, education is the foundation of your future. If you'd apply yourself like your older sister does, you'd do better, and then you'd like school. Time and time again, we've told you to settle down. You've got the ability, but you just don't apply yourself. Try harder. Get a positive attitude about it. Pause. Now go ahead. Tell me how you feel. You see, we have such a tendency to rush in to fix things up with good advice, but we often fail to take the time to diagnose, to really deeply understand the problem first. If I were to summarize in one sentence the single most important principle I have learned in the field of interpersonal relations, it would be this: seek first to understand, then to be understood. This principle is the key to effective interpersonal communication. And I just want to, as a side note, say how right he is. We all must seek first to understand. And I think that's what happens a lot of the time in the sales process, is that we don't stop to really ask the right questions so we can understand exactly what it is the person wants. And then when they don't retain our services or purchase our products, we, for the life of us, can't understand. Well, maybe we've been doing too much talking instead of not doing enough listening, which I think has to be first and foremost. In empathetic listening, which is another section in Habit 5, he says, seek first to understand involves a very deep shift in paradigm. We typically seek first to be understood. Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. They're either speaking or preparing to speak. They're filtering everything through their own paradigms, reading their autobiography into other people's lives. Oh, I know exactly how you feel. I went through the very same thing. Let me tell you about my experience. They're constantly projecting their own home movies onto other people's behavior. They prescribe their own glasses for everyone with whom they interact. If they have a problem with someone, a son, a daughter, a spouse, an employee, their attitude is that person just doesn't understand. A father once told me, he says, I couldn't understand my kid. He just won't listen to me at all. Let me restate what you just said, I replied. You don't understand your son because he won't listen to you? That's right, he replied. Let me try again, I said. You don't understand your son because he won't listen to you? That's what I said, the man said impatiently. I thought that to understand another person, you needed to listen to him, I suggested. Oh, he said. There was a long pause. Oh, he said again as the light began to dawn. Oh, yeah. But I do understand him. I know what he's going through. I went through the same thing myself. I guess what I don't understand is why he won't listen to me. This man didn't have the vaguest idea of what was really going on inside his boy's head. He looked into his own head and thought he saw the world, including his own boy. That's the case with so many of us. We're filled with our own rightness, our own autobiography. We want to be understood. Our conversations become collective monologues, and we never really understand what's going on inside another human being. When another person speaks, we're usually listening at one of four levels. We may be ignoring another person, not really listening at all. We may practice pretending, yeah, uh-huh, right, we say. We may practice selective listening, hearing only certain parts of the conversation. We often do this when we're listening to the constant chatter of a preschool child, or we may even practice attentive listening, paying attention and focusing energy on the words that are being said. But very few of us ever practice the fifth level, the highest form of listening, empathic listening. When I say empathic listening, I am not referring to the techniques of active listening or reflective listening, which basically involve mimicking what another person says. That kind of listening is skill-based, truncated from character and relationship, and often insults those listened to in such a way. It is also essentially autobiographical. If you practice those techniques, you may not project your autobiography in the actual interaction, but your motive in listening is autobiographical. You listen with reflective skills, but you listen with the intent to reply, to control, to manipulate. When I say empathic listening, I mean listening with intent to understand the other person. I mean seeking first to understand, to really understand. It's an entirely different paradigm. Empathic, from the word empathy, listening gets inside another person's frame of reference. You look out through it, you see the world the way they see the world, you understand their paradigm, you understand how they feel. Empathy is not sympathy. Sympathy is a form of agreement, a form of judgment, and it is sometimes the more appropriate emotion and response. But people often feed on sympathy. It makes them dependent. The essence of empathic listening is not that you agree with someone, it's that you fully, deeply understand that the person, emotionally as well as intellectually. Empathic listening involves much more than registering, reflecting, or even understanding the words that are said. Communication experts estimate, in fact, that only 10% of our communication is represented by the words we say. Another 30% is represented by our sounds, and 60%, get this, by our body language. In empathic listening, you listen with your ears, but you also, and more importantly, listen with your eyes and with your heart. You listen for feeling, for meaning. You listen for behavior. You use your right brain as well as your left. You sense, you intuit, you feel. And so empathic listening is so powerful because it gives you accurate data to work with. Instead of projecting your own autobiography and assuming thoughts, feelings, motives, and interpretation, you're dealing with the reality inside another person's head. You know, he's so correct. As I read this and look at what empathic listening really means, to really understand the person from their point of view, he's right. Oftentimes when we talk to other people, even though we're trying to attentively listen to them, we're often rolling around in our heads what it is that we want to say and what it is that we want to reply with, instead of listening at how they feel and really trying to get into their space. And, again, for those of you who are business owners, this really has a lot to do with how well we do with sales. You see, because sales is all about our ability to listen. It's all about our ability to understand what it is that our clients or our customer needs. And if we're busy looking at listening to our customers or clients but really trying to think of the next thing to say, then we're really not listening with empathy. We're really not trying to understand and get in their space. And here's the secret about sales that you need to know. In sales, if you ask a person what it is that they need and what problem are they trying to solve by having that particular service or product, they're going to give you the answer to how to close the sale with them. But if you're not listening in an empathetic manner, if you're not listening with your heart and really trying to get in their space and see what it is that they need, then you're going to miss the boat altogether, and you're just going to be busy trying to sell them on something that's really not going to be beneficial to them because you're not listening to how they want to be sold to. So this fifth habit can really help a lot of of people. It can help us as women to learn more about how to talk with other women and how to develop that kind of relationship where we listen to understand and then be understood, which is so very, very important. It's 12:34 after the hour, and I'm so happy that you're with us today here on the Successful Woman Radio Show. Coming up, I want to share about our upcoming event at Women About Biz and what we've got going on. Get your pen and notepad out, or if you have your calendar out, that will be good too, because coming up on Thursday, April the 17th, we've got something, an event that I know that all of you are going to want to be a part of. Well, it is Savvy Networking 101. Again, Savvy Networking 101. You know, during the month of April, it's going to be all about springing into action and networking. We are going to be sharing with you every Monday during the month of April different approaches and different ways that you can get results in networking. But at first, it's going to start with you really developing a wonderful networking system. So mark your calendar for Thursday, April 17th, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. It's Savvy Networking 101. I am going to be personally facilitating this particular workshop. This is one of my favorite workshops to do. The topics that I'll be discussing with you is actually providing you with information on how to create your 30-second introduction, how to qualify the new connections that you make. In other words, how to tell if someone would really make a great client, if they were warm, if you feel that they are a prospect. How do you do that? Or how do you convert someone that you're talking to into a prospect from a connection? And what's the difference between the two? I'll be talking about how to develop your follow-up steps, knowing your keywords or your buzzwords to pique the interest of other people when you're talking to them. See, networking is a psychological thing. It's really all about knowing how to read people. It's knowing how to be confident in who you are and what your business represents, and then being totally clear on how to introduce yourself and your business. So this is going to be a very, very important teleclass, again, Thursday evening, April 17th, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And we also have a wonderful Savvy Networking 101 guide that I'd like to encourage you to purchase. It's only $9.99. It's information-packed, and it's going to give you even more information. In addition to the teleclass, you're going to find helpful worksheets, outlines, specific instructions for putting your networking system in action. So, again, you definitely want to go to Women About Biz and check this out. Go ahead and get registered for Savvy Networking 101. We only have, for this particular teleclass, we only have 50 spots available, and we have always registered completely up with this workshop. And so this is the first Savvy Networking 101 teleclass of the year. We've updated the information, so if you've taken this class before, you definitely are going to want to get the updated material information, okay? Coming up again, that is going to be on Thursday, April 17th, starting at 7 p.m. That is going to be the Savvy Networking 101 teleclass. Make sure you spread the word, and to register, simply go to womenaboutbiz.com, and then in the top red menu bar, click on events, and you'll find the information at that point. It's 12:37 after the hour, and you're listening to Trina Newby with Successful Woman Radio. Since this is the end of the first quarter, again, I hope that all of you are ready to evaluate your first quarter to see how you've done. One of the responsibilities that you have to your business is to really do your progress report. Our children get progress reports at the end of 3 months, and that's for a reason. That's so that we can gauge on how well we're doing and improve, tweak and improve what we are doing so that we can see better results for the next quarter. So as you look at January, February, and March, I know that a lot of you did not get a chance to prepare your business strategy in the previous year back in August, September, October timeframe. And so many of you started out in January wanting to implement a lot of things, but the time was just not there for you. It passed you, and so now you're trying to play catch-up. Well, listen, just because you're having to play catch up with the business strategy, it doesn't mean that you're not supposed to do a business strategy. So one of the things that I think is very important for you to just back up, schedule some time, maybe 2 hours in your planner, for you to evaluate your business and literally look at what it is that you need to do to move forward in second quarter 2014. Now, some of the questions that I think that you can ask yourself that will help is, first of all, what you want to do is look at, how did I improve? Did I see any business improvements in 2014? That's the first thing that you want to ask yourself, okay, again. Did I see any business improvements in 2014 so far? What was my profit for January, for February, and for March, okay? What's the balance in my checking account? And if you're not happy with these numbers, that means that you've got to really develop a plan to increase those numbers, right? And you can't keep doing the same old thing, okay? You know what doing the same old thing, expecting different results, is the definition of, right? Insanity. It means that we have to not be so far-fetched and out of touch with life and with ourselves to think that we can continue to do the same thing and get those different results. So listen, this means that you've got to get to the drawing board. I am challenging all of you who are listening to really utilize this first week of April to prepare your business strategy. And within your business strategy, prepare how you're going to market your business, what materials you're going to need to better market it, to identify what your financial sales goals are going to be, right? How many clients or customers you're going to need to actually make that happen, which is so very important. So if you didn't get any results in first quarter 2014, you know, that's really just saying you need to buckle down and get serious about being the CEO of your company and the designer of your life, and move forward in getting some assistance. So with that said, I encourage you to go to the coaching center at Women About Biz, which, again, go to womenaboutbiz.com, click on coaching center, and then consider, okay, looking at our article, Developing Your Business Strategy in 2014, and going ahead and doing a strategic discovery session with us. Let me help you brainstorm and look at how to develop your strategy, okay, how to get that done and what needs to happen in order for you to start seeing things improve in 2014 second quarter. Remember, just because you're a solo entrepreneur, it does not mean, ladies, that you have to be by yourself on this journey as you discover how to be successful, right? Absolutely. And so I want you to keep that in mind as you go on your business in trying to be successful. I'm going to go ahead and move forward now and want to just give you some wonderful information as we end our theme for this month, Dare to Dream in 2014. I'm going to share with you 7 ways to become more persistent. Again, 7 ways to become more persistent. So this is a great time to pick up your pen, because I know that you're going to be able to utilize this information that I'm getting ready to give you. You know, oftentimes women get overwhelmed with setting goals that are unrealistic or so far in the future that there's no motivation to get it going. So saying a goal out loud and sharing it with others might sound good, but guess what? After the crowd is gone, it remains nice sounding words on a sheet of paper. So if no action is taken to see it through, you're not going to see the goal happen. To truly reclaim your power and start seeing some results, be more focused on what you would like to make happen in your life within the next 3 or 6 months. So the thing here about being successful in life and business is start small and grow large. So that's so very, very important. And I think in many ways a lot of people, you know, they are not persistent enough in business. So as a result, they have this tendency to give up before they have actually gotten started. So I want to give you some ways to become more persistent. And again, persistent means to push forward, to keep going. Even if you fall down, keep moving forward. Even if there's some things that don't pan out, you failed in them, get up, dust yourself off, keep moving. Be very persistent in what it is that you want out of your life and in your business, okay? So here's number one in seven ways to become more persistent in accomplishing your dreams and goals. Number one, stop looking far ahead. Again, we get so overwhelmed with setting goals that are unrealistic and in the future that there's no motivation to get going. Here's number two. Know what motivates you. You know, self-motivation comes deep from within, ladies. There has to be something to compel you to take that immediate action. This is why developing a belief in yourself is key for motivation. Now, I know what you say. Okay, come on, Trina, come on. Are you saying that I don't believe in myself? Well, no, I'm not saying that you don't believe in yourself, but what I am saying is that you may not have the level of belief required, right, required to be successful. And there's all different types of beliefs. I mean, there is the inherent belief. In other words, I believe that I am in existence. I believe that I am. Therefore, I believe in myself. But there's another belief that I know for sure is an even higher level of belief, and that is a belief so intense that it causes us to have unshakable faith. And many of you have heard me talk about unshakable faith before. Well, unshakable faith is a level of belief so deeply rooted within yourself that it compels you, it causes you to take swift and immediate action. That's a belief that shows you the proof that you indeed believe in whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, that you're trying to do. Whenever you don't take action, whenever you procrastinate, whenever you slow down, whenever you've been working on the same goal or trying to get the same dream off the ground for 6 months, a year, 5 years, a decade, it means that the level of belief you have about that needs to be evaluated and you need to beef it up, right? Very important. Sometimes when you find yourself procrastinating and not taking action on a goal, there could be something going on with your level of belief to do it. So keep that in mind. Self-motivation provides you with energy and excitement, and it gives you more clarity in pushing forward. So you have to know what motivates you. And you can't always expect to wake up and just out of clear blue to have something outside of your existence to motivate you. You have to learn how to motivate yourself, internal motivation. Here's number three, commit to staying positive. Oftentimes you can face challenges and obstacles on your journey to success, ladies, and it can really throw you for a loop. You know, there could be anything can happen that throws you. You may have already had experiences in your life that have thrown you for a loop, and because of that, you don't want to try again, or you don't want to really go after a particular goal anymore, or you feel like you just want to go in a closet and hide because you've tried to start a business twice or three times or four times, and it never succeeded. But listen, again, oftentimes you can face many challenges and obstacles in your life, but you must make a commitment to stay positive no matter what. See, this is what persistence is all about. Make a solid commitment from the very beginning that you'll stay in the positive. This means getting yourself involved in positive environments, building positive relationships, and practicing positive self-talk. Here's number four. Embrace the habit of being proactive. Now, this is one of my favorite things in the seven ways to be persistent. Again, embrace the habit of being proactive. This is number four. There is no place for the last-minute mindset when it comes to accomplishing your dreams and goals. Planning ahead of time is necessary, and it will help you to be better prepared to take the actions necessary. So proactive means that you must look at doing things ahead of time instead of doing things after. You want to be You don't want to be a reactor. In other words, every time the deadline for something comes up, you're reacting to it because you're never going to be your best when you react to things, right? You want to be proactive. You want to do things ahead of time. You want to think things out well far in advance so that you can see better success. Now, sometimes I have problems with this one, and I know that it's the way that I should be going, but sometimes I will end up not working on a project until the very last minute, and I'll say to myself, now this is the trickery we use as women, and we have to be very careful to that. I'll say to myself, well, I do some of my best work at the last minute. That's not, while what I do at the last minute may be good and it may look good, how much better would it be if I would have been proactive? And so as women, we use that slogan, I do some of my best work at the last minute, as an excuse to not be proactive, and we have to be very, very careful about that. Here's number five in seven ways to be persistent is embrace the habit of discipline. Embrace the habit of discipline. It's so important for us to maintain a consistent schedule for accomplishing our goals and staying the course. So we have to practice self-control and be willing to sacrifice for the better good. And when I say sacrifice, here's what you need to understand, ladies. If there is something that you want to do, if there is a dream that you're trying to accomplish, a goal that you're trying to accomplish, it's very important for you to understand that there are things that you're going to have to sacrifice. If your business isn't doing what it needs to do, well, yes, you can blame it on not having enough money. You can blame it on not having enough resources. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, you may not be the type of CEO that you need to be for your business. You may not have eliminated certain activities so that you could give more time to your business, okay? So you need to make sure that you embrace the habit of discipline. Stay disciplined as the CEO of your company and see the difference that it makes. You know, Jim Rohn says it best. He says, discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishment. Here's number six. Embrace the habit of self-love. Again, embrace the habit of self-love. Ladies, loving yourself is a skill that when mastered, you'll always be willing to do what's best for yourself instead of always giving into instant gratification of what you want. So you really have to learn how to love yourself, because loving yourself doesn't mean doing what you always want to do. Okay, loving yourself means that you're always going to look at what's best for you. Sometimes before you make a decision, you may have to do a cash flow sheet, or you may have to sit down with a pen and paper and write out two columns, the pros and cons, and look at what's best for you. If you ask yourself most of the time, what is going to be best for me, then you'll know the right answer. As women, we're very used to doing a lot of self-talking, but not enough self-loving. We can talk ourselves into or out of anything that we want, but oftentimes when we do that, we're not doing what's best for ourselves. We're doing what we want to do. And sometimes, believe it or not, you can be selfish with your own self to the point to where you talk yourself out of doing what's the best thing for yourself, and you end up reaping negative consequences as a result of it. So you have to be very careful here. So embrace the habit of self-love, which is embracing to do what's best for yourself instead of always giving into instant gratification of what you want. Lastly but not least, number seven, is consider joining a coaching group to help you keep accountable and stay persistent and consistent. No woman can be a success all by herself. And I personally, just in testimony, tell you this is something that I have truly learned about being successful. You'll need resources and tools to accomplish your goals more efficiently and being amongst others who are also supportive and positive in working towards their goals. And so it's important that you become a part of a group, a family that feels like you feel, that is striving towards accomplishing something just like you are. And so that's why I invite you to really take a close look at Women About Biz, our gold membership, and how it can help you and how we can help you to really accomplish your success sooner than later. So, again, I want to encourage all of you to look at these seven ways to be more persistent in accomplishing your dreams and goals and to make a commitment in making it happen for yourself. I truly hope that you were writing them down with a pen and paper. And if you have any questions, of course, you can email me, tnewbie@womenaboutbiz.com. Again, that's tnewbie@womenaboutbiz.com. Last but not least, as we get ready to end the show, don't hang up that phone yet. Don't go on another website. Just hold on, because I want to go ahead and I want to honor another woman as part of the National Women's History Month project. Today, Women About Biz and Successful Woman Radio wants to honor Jaida Im, I-M, and she was born in 1960, living today, and she is an advocate for survivors of human trafficking. Okay, Jaida Im founded Freedom House, the first residential shelter for adult female survivors of human trafficking in Northern California in 2010. Eve left her 20-year career as a healthcare professional to find the nonprofit organization. Under her direction, the program offers holistic case management, counseling, educational resources, and job training for victims of abduction and enslavement. In fall 2013, Freedom House opened The Nest to serve girls ages 12 to 17. Now, this shelter provides a space to help girls recapture their interrupted youth in a loving family setting. So today, we salute Jaida Im for advocating for survivors of human trafficking and for creating the nonprofit organization Freedom House. And we're so glad that you have. And as many of you know, human trafficking is literally off of the chart. It's happening so much here in the United States, and it's so sad to know that every day children and women and men, I might add, are being kidnapped and sold into slavery for sex slavery. And so we want to honor her and thank her for all of the work that she has done. If you'd like to learn more about the National Women's History Project, please visit their website at nwhp.org. Again, the National Women's History Project website is nwhp.org. Please visit them and you'll learn and you can read about all of the other 2014 honorees. And this is a very wonderful project to take your daughters and look on the website and to learn more about all of the women that are being honored here. Also, it's a great program for your, if you teach a girls' Bible class or if you are involved with children in some way, girls, this is a great way to let them know about other women who have paved the way for us and who are still doing it to this very day. So that's nwhp.org. Well, we've come to the end of the show, and I'm so glad that you came to the show today, and I pray that you have received information that's going to help you be more successful. Please make sure you register for the Savvy Networking 101 teleclass, which is April 17th, starting at 7 p.m. Make sure you get the workbook as well, chock full of information just for you. I've enjoyed being with you today, and I pray that the information shared has motivated and inspired you, ladies, to move forward with your dreams and goals. Stay tuned next Monday, April 7th, as we'll begin bringing on a whole new month. This is your host and success coach, Trina Newbie, saying success is yours for the taking. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.